We're now going to read from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 32 on page 70. It's a bit of a long one, so just try to keep focused. The Passover. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Let the whole community of Israel that on the tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or from the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall commemorate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses. For whoever eats anything with yeast in it, from the first day through to the seventh, must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do not work at all on these days, except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Celebrate the feast of unleavened bread, because it is on this very day I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for generations to come. In the first month you are to eat bread made without yeast. From the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses. And whoever eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel, whether he is an alien or native born. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat yeast. You must eat unleavened bread." Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frames. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the doorframe, and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, "What does this ceremony mean to you?" then tell them, "It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians." Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go. And also bless me." Amen.
Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank you for your goodness, that this week you have been speaking to Ron. You've been inspiring him. You've been bringing your word to life for him. And Lord, as he now brings that word to us, we pray that you would be in the midst of it. Lord, we ask that as Ron speaks, we would hear your voice, that you would touch our hearts by your Spirit and inspire us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. Our theme today is Jesus is our Passover lamb. But before I start, I just want to say this, that our cafe service is next Sunday. And our guest speaker is Dr. Tristan Deschalain. And the first youth cafe service on the 16th of March, our guest speaker is Jules Riding, an international singer, songwriter, Christian. And so he will be our guest speaker on that Sunday evening. To our message today, what are your best lamb dishes? You like to have, hands up those who like to have lamb with something. What is the something? Yes, John? Lamb with?
Gravy. Your choice.
Okay, gravy, yes. Mint. Okay. All right, anyone else? Yes? Roast vegetables. Okay, yes, no? Moroccan lamb. Okay, thank you for that. Yes, Robert? Oh, curried. It's weak in Samoan. Curry is kale, but also means cough. Because it's hot. Okay, curry. Anyone else?
Lamb chops.
They always go down well. Yeah. Yeah, anyone else? Sorry? Souvlaki on the skewers. Yes. With lemon. And garlic. And, oh. Yes.
Lamb salad with cucumber and celery.
Oh. Well, good for you. I'm not coming to your house. And what about university students? They like lamb or do they get lamb? Do you guys get lamb? You don't get lamb. Yeah, judging by the way you look, you guys probably just eat vegetables. All right, okay. Anyone else? No? Yes? Sorry? Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Well, it's good to know that. Because our message today is about the Passover lamb. When Jesus lived, lambs were a central part of the spiritual life of Israel. And for centuries, lambs had died for the sins of the nation. Now, inside the walls of the temple, did you know that two lambs died every day? One at 9 o'clock in the morning, and the... Oh, Finn, it's good to see you. How's New Plymouth? Okay. One lamb was killed at 9 o'clock in the morning, and the other lamb was killed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Can anyone tell me the literal meaning of sacrifice in Hebrew? I never knew this. The literal meaning of sacrifice in Hebrew. And this is going to have a huge bearing on our understanding of the Passover lamb. Sorry? No. It means to slit the throat. To slit the throat. That's what the literal meaning of the Hebrew word sacrifice is, to slit the throat. So I want you to put that picture right here and we'll come back to it. For a few days, every family in Israel would have a lamb. And for the purpose of our message today, we're going to call it Flossie. And everyone knew that Flossie would have to die for sinful choices that they made. Most family didn't have flocks of sheep, and so each family would purchase a lamb. But here's the thing. Families had to house the lamb for a few days, and so the children would pet and feed Flossie. Everyone would hear Flossie, meh, running around the house, running in the yard, and the children chasing it. And everyone could smell Flossie. But that's probably what made Passover so different. Everyone lived with the Passover lamb for a few days, and everyone realized why the lamb had to die. That's going to have a huge bearing on our message today. This lamb, a child would come to understand, would die because of their sin. You imagine a child growing up. Each year, as it got older, it began to understand that the lamb, Flossie, that they were getting each year, was going to die because of the sins that they had made, because of the wrongs that they had done. And this lamb was going to take their place. I want to share three aspects of the Passover. Passover saves the people through one, judgment, two, sacrifice, and three, substitution. So the first one, Passover saves through judgment. I want to begin by saying this. Passover is really about the 10th plague. Can anyone say what some of the nine plagues, the first nine plagues were? We had it up in the children's story. Frogs, gnats, locusts, Flies. Okay. Flies boiled in water. Oh, okay. All right. Anyone else? Any others? Hail. Darkness. Oh, man, we're great. That's six. Boiled, seven. Two more. What? The Nile, the blood in the Nile. Eight. One more. That's the ninth. That's the tenth one. That's the tenth one. Yeah. All right. I'm not sure. I'm asking you. I don't have to read everything. The salvation God brings is a salvation through judgment. And this word is going to be very important for us today. To be saved, you go through judgment. I want us to look at Exodus 12, verse 12, and ask, what does Passover save the people from? Now, this is what verse 12 says. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. What did the Israelites need saving from? We know what the Egyptians needed saving from. But what did the Israelites need saving from? Their sin? Disobedience? Sorry? Okay. It's so simple. It's staring you. It's in the. It's right in your face. From death? From slavery? From lack of faith? From the Egyptians themselves? Yes. These are all wonderful responses. But this is the response that took me by surprise. What the Israelites needed saving from was the Lord Himself. They needed the Lord to save them from the Lord. It's the Lord who's coming in judgment. And it's repeated in verse 23 and 27 and 29. It's personal. This is very personal to God. It's not like the plagues of hail or darkness or locusts. With those plagues, Moses would just stretch out his hand and the plagues would come through him. This time, the Lord even says to Moses, run for cover. I am coming. And they all, Egyptians, Israelites alike, they all had to take shelter because the Lord Himself was judging the land. Salvation, if it was going to come, had to be from God. People needed to be saved by the Lord, from the Lord. And how would He do this? Well, that leads us to the second point. Through sacrifice. Passover was a meal, yes. But as verse 27 says, before it was a meal, it was a sacrifice. And remember this picture of sacrifice? To slit your throat. Not your throat, to slit a throat. Anyway. And the real key to the sacrifice was its bloodiness. Look at verse 23. This is what averts judgment. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, He would see the blood on the top and the sides of that doorway, of the door frame, and would pass over the doorway, and He would not permit the destroyer to enter their houses and strike them down. Folks, it's the blood which makes all the difference. When blood is in our veins, it means life. When blood is out of our veins, it means death. And the blood of the Lamb is the sign of the sacrificial death. That's what turns aside the judgment of God. The blood and only the blood. Without the blood of the Lamb, you forfeit the blood of your firstborn. If there's going to be salvation, then judgment falls on the sacrifice, and that's what happened at Passover. But it's also what happened at the cross. The cross was the judgment of the world, focused down like a magnifying glass until it burned with divine power upon Jesus, our willing sacrifice. But that's how salvation comes. Only through judgment falling on the sacrifice. And that leads to the third aspect of Passover. The people are saved through substitution. Look at the last line of verse 30. There was not a house without someone dead. Whether Egyptian or Israelite, in every house there was death. Either there was a dead lamb or there was a dead son. And I'm hoping that now you're beginning to see how Passover is a substitutionary sacrifice. Passover is a substitutionary sacrifice that takes your place. And this is the bottom line. It's you or the substitute. That's it. That's the choice. You or the substitute. The Lamb wasn't a willing substitute. Jesus was. He freely laid down his life. On that cross, the Lord became the Lamb. The Savior became the sacrifice. The Judge became the judged. Our Maker was crucified, slaughtered as a lamb. He bled his own heart's blood, the blood of God, as Acts 20 puts it, and he did it for you. It's a substitution. The blood of God was shed for you. You are a people saved by the blood of your Lamb. We are a people who need his death just so we can live. We have nothing to contribute, but we were created to receive. We are that needy, and we are sinful. We are that dependent. We are that famished. We must rely on the death of our substitute, not just to get us through the judgment, but through the day. Trusting in your Lamb is not just a one-off event. It's not just a saving event. It's a whole way of life. And there is a day of judgment, and it's coming. Folks, there is blood demanded from each one of us. But Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. The blood demanded from us has been offered for us in our place, on our behalf, as our substitute. If you trust the Lord Jesus as the Lamb, then his blood shelters you from that coming day. God loved us so much. He gave his only son to die. And whoever believes that message will, this is a promise, will have everlasting life. The Israelites were prepared for centuries on the significance of an innocent lamb dying for a sinful people. For over 2,000 years, lambs had been dying as a sacrifice of sin. When Abraham offered up Isaac, Isaac asked, "Father, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb?" You know, very rarely will anyone die for an unrighteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, 6 to 8. The lamb had to die. But the price of sin is so high, it's so personal. In my prayer time this morning, I began to realize that I'm to blame. And I thought, how can that be? How can I be to blame? And then I thought, hang, not just me, you. You also are to blame. And then I thought a bit more about it. And it dawned on me, the sins that happened yesterday, my sins today, my sins for the next however time I've got left of on this earth have been paid. Someone was a substitute for my sinfulness. I'm to blame. The reason Jesus died exactly where and when he died was to pay for our sin. So in conclusion, there is a sense that the rules all changed with the resurrection. Never again would a lamb die for the sins of people. The Lamb of God died and it was truly forever finished. The tomb was empty on Sunday morning. God the Father loved his Son so much that not one second of morning sunlight would be wasted. When daylight came, the earth shook. The stone was moved from the entrance. Sleepy soldiers fell down as if they were dead, and angels waited for the first of the believers to come and see the difference that a resurrection would make. It would make a difference of joy. Mary's tears of heartbreak turned to speechless celebration because of the resurrection. Each one of the disciples was transformed because of the resurrection. Thousands began to believe, and then millions because of the resurrection. In time, entire governments, cultures, and educational processes have been changed because of the resurrection. You know, ironically, a war raked over Jerusalem just 40 years after the resurrection. And from that day until now, Passover lambs haven't been sacrificed. Could it be that God was sending another message to the world, that since the Lamb of God had died, there was no need for further loss of life? You see, because of the resurrection, we can have everlasting life. We can have abundant life. We can have a life free from the bondage of sin. So I leave you this question. Have you taken shelter in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for you? And if you ask, you will be kept safe in Jesus the Lamb. Shall we pray? Le tuae, le leo leo ma moe le lei. Lea ua mātou talitonu, ma mātou whaalongolongo I le whaitawina o lo whinangalo pa ia. Lea ua mātou I loa. Le mafua anga po o le autu na e maliu. Na e maliu hai mo I mātou. Gracious God, we talk about you, Jesus, being our Lamb. And yet we forget the cost and the high price of our sin. We forget that you took our place so that we could have life. You gave your life, you offered yourself, you substituted yourself for us. Thank you. Thank you for doing that for us. And may we never forget what it meant. I'm sure, Lord, that in heaven, when you asked who would go, and your son, I'm sure, said, send me. I'll go. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for giving your life for us. And thank you for your being risen from the dead so that we could have an opportunity for life everlasting with you. Bless us, O God, in the name of Jesus the Lamb. Amen.